And we're back after having what we like to call at Stone Creek Coffee, a full rich day. So we're ready to actually drink beer and talk coffee and coffee in beer. That's the topic today.
Coffee and beer.
Yeah, it's a...
It's we're enthusiastic about.
We're enthusiastic about it. We're also always a little pensive about it because, as we talked about last time, there's a lot of things that go wrong when you mix alcohol and beer, and a lot of things that don't get thought through. I'm excited to say that I've met a lot more brewers recently who are thinking through good coffee chemistry, and they're also thinking about it because it makes better beer chemistry. So lots of good stuff happening. But I just have this, like, in the back of my mind, just a really, really, like, bitter coffee stale, coffee stout.
Yeah.
Like, that's my perception. When people say coffee beer, we all just kind of like, oh, man, this is going to be rough. It's not what I go to at home on a regular basis. And maybe shame on me for doing so, but...
Well, not really. Once you get burned, you know, it's like if you date a blonde, you get burned by the blonde, then, you know, odds are pretty good you're going to try a brunette next.
Well, you might go back one more time. You give it two chances, and the third time you're like, okay, I'm swearing off of them.
Not wrong for everyone, but wrong for me. All right, so back to beers. And I think coffee, it's not without reason that we're shy from coffee beers, because we've even watched people make them using very poor brewing techniques, both in terms of beer and coffee. And when people are just starting out, coffee and beer sound sexy, just like barrels and coffee. But if you don't know what exactly is happening chemically, odds are pretty good you're going to end up with a product that you weren't shooting for out of the gate. So we're going to start go ahead.
I'll say, let's talk about why brewers might want to add coffee to their beer. Because let's go into it with a holistic approach. Like, okay, so we're hearing you as a coffee roaster. Like, why would you want to put coffee in your beer? As I mentioned before, like an oatmeal stout, a coffee stout, it's kind of like a typical profile. And what you have when you have a stout is roasted malt, dark roasted malt that gives you that really kind of carbony, nutty flavor. Something that most people that are not homebrewers or not really avid brewer people, they don't realize is that all the malt going into that beer isn't necessarily that dark malt. It's kind of like an interesting mix of flavors. So you get high sweets, middle sweets, and that kind of spicy dark note. And what they see is when they taste that, they taste like a roasty characteristic. And your mind immediately goes to coffee because it's kind of the same process. Like you roast the grain, kind of similar to the way that you would roast a coffee bean. And she's like, man, if I add that layer of roast onto it, it'll really push that roasty flavor. And sure enough, you can easily do that with a coffee, especially with a dark roasted coffee. A lot of people add Sumatra or Peru or something kind of veggie to really, really exemplify that coffee flavor. It would be like adding French roast to a really nice beer on a regular basis. And not that there's anything wrong with French roast. We talked about that time and time again. There's nothing wrong with roast. But there's more notes in coffee than just roast. It's like they're just adding that one note because they're really looking to exemplify that, or they've added too much sugar to their wort, and they're trying to really hone in that dark roast note.
I think another reason beyond sort of trying to accomplish a flavor profile is that perception that if you have two good things and then try and bring them together, as we mentioned last time, that it'll be good. And then finally, you're trying to, like, do something unique that not everybody does. And you're trying to partner with other local, you know, food partners. And coffee and beer seem to be somewhat compatible. So they want to partner and leverage the brand and the relationships that they have with their coffee friends. And I think all of them are actually pretty good motivations for trying coffee beer. And the science actually does support being able to do it. If you know what the science is. So should we drink now?
Yeah, we should drink a little beer. So I'm going to start us out with a typical coffee beer. It's one that usually appears on like the top 10, top 20 coffee beer lists across the United States.
Like on Thrillist?
On Thrillist, yeah. They're from across the pond, across Lake Michigan. brewery called Bell's. You've probably heard of them. Fairly popular. But this is their Java Stout. So, again, this kind of really typical roasty, big beer profile.
Which I would wager that I haven't tried any of these.
So this is a 7.5% alcohol beer. So in the middle, it's not like Imperial Stout. An enchanting beer made from a marriage of custom blend of fresh roasted coffee beans with a dark and roasty stout. So, cheers.
Mm-hmm.
This is...
thick.
It's thick. It's dark. It's not like an Imperial or Imperial Stout.
I didn't taste it yet, but when I went to take a sip, I opened my mouth and I got hit immediately with like a Sumatra aromatic, like earthy, a little burlap. Didn't even touch my tongue, but that's what hit me first was the coffee in here.
There's good carbonation on this beer, which is good. Like,
yeah, it helps cut through some of that.
Exactly.
It tastes like you took an amber ale and you mixed some coffee in. Like a really strong amber ale.
You know what? I really don't taste a lot of coffee in here.
Really? I get it. It's mainly in the aromatics.
I taste the malt. Like I taste the dark malt, and then the aromatic of coffee is afterwards. I thought that this was... I've had this beer before, but I guess I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I'm not really big on it. I'm talking into my cup.
It's got like a molassesy, dark caramel front. And then the aromatic moves back, and you get kind of a... It doesn't taste like stale coffee.
No.
Which is great.
No, it reminds me of Goldendrock, which is a Belgian strong ale, which I used to love when I was getting into beer because it's really sweet. And this beer is really sweet. Like, you talk about molasses for show. It's super sweet and pretty accessible, I think. Like, if you're a stout fan or if you like sweet beers, this is going to be right up your alley. I normally go for something lighter. I do like strong, but if you can dial back the sweetness, I think this would be disgusting to me if it didn't have the high level of carbonation. Like, that makes it palatable. And if this was offered to me, like, hey, here's a free beer, I'd say, okay, and I would drink it.
Yeah, that's just surprising. Not in a bad way. I love Bell's as a brewery. I was expecting to pick out a more stereotypical beer, and I've had a couple of coffee beers from some other breweries in Wisconsin that have just been like, man, that's intensely stale. So I'm going to move on to some more experimental coffee beers, because this style is kind of your typical use of coffee in a beer. I found this, again, from across the pond. I found this yesterday. This is from Founders. This is called Pale Joe. This is a pale ale brewed with coffee, and this coffee has high-end Ethiopian coffee expertly roasted by our hometown neighbors, and it's from Ferris Coffee. So some guys that I've met at Origin, awesome guys. This one's interesting.
You tried this one too?
I tried this one yesterday.
Good,
I got a six-pack of it. I had to try it. A little preview.
This is
a pale.
And it's a little bit darker than your normal pale ale, likely because of the coffee, but you get, like, no coffee at all.
Wait for it. You get that little bit of Ethiopian-ness on the finish. It's like an Ethiopian natural. It's super subtle, though. Like, if you didn't tell me there was coffee in here, I probably wouldn't notice that there was coffee.
Yeah, I still don't notice. I'm searching. I'm trying. I mean, it tastes like a honey wheat Hefeweizen. That's what it tastes like, a light one.
This is a really light beer for...
What's the ABV?
5.4. 15 IBUs.
Tastes that strong.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like, if I was on a picnic in the summertime and was playing football and wanted to have one beer that wouldn't drag me down, it would be this one. But I, like, in terms of coffee, it must be a really light roasted coffee, which we'll get into that, I think. Because there's not, like, any imposition of roast or carbon. If you look really deep, you might get some aromatics. But other than that, you wouldn't notice this was a coffee beer if it was just served in a pint glass.
Oh.
Interesting, though. Running the spectrum here.
Yeah. So this is what I would call an atypical coffee beer. Mm-hmm. And I think... more and more breweries are going to start going down this path just because coffee beer has been done so many times the same way over and over again.
The stout way.
The stout way, or like a dark brown, a nut brown ale, or a porter.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this stuff is, it's interesting.
And you can still leverage the coffee name. Like, people are going to be attracted to something because it says coffee on it. Next. Last one.
Only three. All right.
Keep in mind, we're not pounding three beers here.
Moving from the Midwest to the West Coast, this is Rogue Brewing Revolutionary Blend. This is their Cold Brew IPA, which is an IPA brewed with Stumptown Cold Brew, which we've also tasted on this show, so oddly appropriate.
Yep, go back to the Cold Brew Poppin' Bottles episode. That's where we tasted that.
And I actually haven't had this version of it.
What's the ABV on this guy? Well, don't tell me. Don't tell me. All right, so this is in color exactly between the first two that we tasted. It is, what would you call that? It's like when you pee when you're super dehydrated.
It looks like an amber, maybe slightly red. Like, mix, good mix of malts on
just
there.
Always articulate beer color based on how hydrated
hey,
you are.
We actually have all the ingredients on here, too, which is kind of cool.
Oh, nice.
Two-row wheat. Mm.
So this is super aromatic. Not really coffee. You get a little bit, but
we have Rogue Farms, Liberty Rebel, Freedom Hops, Simcoe Hops, Stumptown Cold Brew, Coastal Water, and Pac-Man Yeast.
Okay, so this is good. And it's super complex. Like, the other two were kind of, to me, one note. This starts out, like, juicy, like pomegranate, and then kind of stronger ale. And then it finishes with even a little bit of carbon roast on it, but it's
do,
just really, like,
do you
there's a lot
have coffee
on
here?
I do, yeah.
I don't.
I do on the finish.
I'm looking on the
but
finish.
But it's not, like, it's not floral. It is more of, like, the
it tastes
when you
like
swallow
a
coffee.
It tastes like a resiny hop.
Well, I get that too, but I also get coffee.
I'm trying to think of,
particularly in the aftertaste. Like, it's all coffee on the aftertaste. We're just not agreeing.
No,
today.
We're not agreeing. No, I'm trying to find it because I know what Stumptown Cold Brew tastes like. Mm. And I drink a lot of IPAs. Like,
well,
that's what
I
usually go to.
You remember how fruity, though, the Stumptown Cold Brew was? Like, that's where I think some of that pomegranate on the front may be derived from that cold brew. Like, because it was probably a naturally processed coffee they were using in their cold brew, which had a lot of red fruit, like strawberries, raspberries, pomegranate, red delicious apple, which actually aren't my favorite apples. I don't know why they call them red delicious, but I get some of that.
Like, this is the best quote-unquote cold brew IPA that I've had, and I've had a couple of them. To me, none of these have synergy. They don't have the perfect harmony of, like, I taste coffee and I taste beer.
Have you ever had a beer where you felt like it had perfect synergy?
One. So, I've had one coffee beer that's had perfect synergy.
Which one?
It's from McKellar, and it was an IPA that was brewed with a natural Ethiopia. So I could taste the IPA. It was a very delicate hop that they used with it. More, it was less resiny, less West Coast style IPA, which is like tons and tons of IBUs, tons and tons of hops. And then it finished like a really good natural process coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it only comes out one time a year from those guys. But it was one of my favorite beers that I've ever had. And I've always been looking for another coffee beer that kind of matches that experience.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. I found it. That took a while. It's only when
it
warms
it
up a little bit.
Is it on the finish to you, though, too?
Yeah, it's on the finish, but it's in a weird spot on my palate.
It does. Like, if
it's like
it might be a little stale, like, actually from the brewing process, like, depending on how they put it in, like, that might be reacting weird with the
coffee. Probably added it post-fermentation, if I had to guess, because it has a nice, clean flavor
right.
to it.
Well, I mean, if they used cold brew, if they didn't use ground coffee, then it's likely post. So we're going to drink these as we go. Can I have the pale one?
Mm-hmm. Wow. So I just ran that beer back to our facilities team. It's late in the day, so they're not drinking midday.
It's 4:27.
It's late in the day for those guys.
Oh, it's late in the day for me guys.
Yeah, but it's they were just as, like, confounded about where the hop and the coffee flavor was in that IPA. Like, had one of them like, yeah, it's in the aromatic. Another one's like, yeah, I taste it. The third one's like, I don't taste it at all. And to me, that's just, it's, I don't know if that's a good thing, a bad thing, another thing.
It's just like, a thing.
Yeah.
It's palate diversity. Like,
it's palate diversity, but I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about simplicity of flavor and trying to get flavors out in products that are very clear, that are really easy to understand, that the majority of people are going to like. And if I had this beer on tap in Milwaukee, I'd say maybe, like, your hop heads are going to love it, but, like, 2 out of 5, 3 out of 5 would actually appreciate it and enjoy it. And maybe even less than that would actually taste the coffee in it. So it's just, it's hard for me to understand why you'd add cold brew to this.
Aside from marketing, the leverage.
Aside from marketing and leveraging.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to line these three beers up and say, what do they have in common, you would never say coffee.
No, not
like
at
as
all.
Confounding as it is in this IPA we're drinking in the pale ale from Founders, it's more confounding picking out the coffee for me. All right, so let's get into brewing process. Like, coffee beers, why are they kind of difficult to manage? Why are they hard to pull off? And what have you seen, Christian, that's worked? Because we've worked on some coffee beer collaborations, and you know, each brewer sort of brings their own spin to it. We've been more active trying to help brewers arrive at some really killer products. We've learned a lot through working through these products with some different brewers. So what's the biggest mistake, like sort of the status quo way of doing a coffee beer that ends up getting you in all the trouble?
So the number one way that gets you in a lot of trouble is if you just brew some hot coffee, you pull some shots of espresso, and you just dump it in the beer.
Before fermentation?
Before fermentation, or after fermentation, regardless.
Doesn't matter.
Regardless. Like, you're just inviting a lot of different chemical reactions, inviting a lot of oxidation to happen. It's like that hot pitcher of coffee that you brewed at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, and now it's 3 o'clock. You're like, oh, shoot, I want to save that coffee. So I throw it in the fridge, and I'll drink it later, and I'll microwave it. That's the type of coffee that we never want to see going into a beer, because we know it's just going to add this... Like, it'll add, for sure, a bitter note, but there's no complexity. All the complexity of the coffee's gone away, and it just gets muddled and lost in the beer flavor.
Another way, I think, that I've heard of people really screwing up is actually putting coffee grounds into, like, the mashing process. So you're putting coffee grounds in for, like, a 10-hour brew cycle, you know, at brew temperature, which is not good coffee brewing science, because you obliterate the chemical structure of the coffee and you've extracted everything, both good and bad.
So with a lot of those beers, you have to actually take the kettle up to boiling point. You're adding that coffee, and we all know, hopefully you all know out there, that if you take coffee to a boiling level, you're going to overextract a lot of those tannins, a lot of the chlorogenic acid. You're going to get more bitter, complex notes out of the coffee that are not good.
Yeah, what have we talked about? What's that proper coffee brewing temperature?
Exactly.
I think we've said it probably 10 times.
So on the flip side, there are some cool things I'm seeing people do. And we've worked with a handful of coffee brewers in the city. And by the time you're listening to this podcast, at least one of these coffees will be out, if not two of them.
Beers? You said coffee brewers.
I am beer brewers. I'm just having really bad dyslexia today.
You remember what
words.
I said about a full, rich day? Like...
Yeah. All right, so two of these beers will be out, but they do have coffee in them.
Beers made by beer brewers.
Yeah.
All right.
So the first thing that we're seeing done is that brewers are adding coffee once the wort has cooled. So they're essentially cold brewing or cold steeping the ground coffee inside of it. You're not going to get a full extraction out of the coffee because that wort is super dense already. Like, there's a lot of stuff inside of it. You need that active water to have a full extraction. But you will pull off a lot of the aromatics. You will pull off a little bit of the citric acid, a little bit of the malic acid, that front of the coffee. And if you throw a lot of coffee in there, you're going to get some nice, rich coffee flavor. And that seems to work really well. We've had some really good coffee beers, one of which we tried an experiment where we actually put whole bean coffee, I believe, into a keg,
let it sit for a day, and then we got some really interesting aromatics from a light roasted coffee we added. Another thing that brewers are doing, and we saw this with the Rogue, was they're adding cold brew to the finished wort. So you have properly brewed cold brew, properly brewed beer. You mix it together at colder temperatures, thus not allowing oxidation to happen, because reactions happen slower at colder temperatures, and thus you have a more shelf-stable and tasty product, in my opinion.
You just need to leave it cold. You can't let it heat up.
Exactly.
And you got to start out with a really strong beer product at that point, because with the cold brew dilution, and most of the time people aren't, it's not a one-for-one ratio at that point. You're talking about a 1 to 20, 1 to 10, but even still, you have some dilution of your beer product, so good to start out with a beer that's got some kick.
So we've also seen people use coffee in what they call a hop rocket. So you actually put it in line from where the boil kettle is to the fermentation tank. So it's like you're flash brewing everything, which is kind of interesting because it's about the right temperature to brew coffee. You usually see people using it whole bean at that point, and you're hitting it with just a little bit of aromatic. I haven't experimented with this myself, but I'm not. I don't have a full brewery at home yet. Yet, someday.
Let's jump back to mistakes. In the brewing process, in the storing process, like, where can these beers go wrong? Like, people are starting to get it right, understanding that you got to make your beer properly, you got to make your coffee properly. You might be able to make them both together, but you got to understand what the temperature is doing, what your particle size is doing, what your steep time is doing. Like, all of the variables that we talk about when it comes to brewing coffee are going to apply when you bring that coffee to beer. But you also can't jack up your beer, so you just have to be really aware of what all is happening chemically when you bring those two components together. So where else in either the brewing or the storing are people going wrong with this stuff? Why do we have so many bad coffee beers?
You know, we tasted cold brews, those canned cold brews on this. I think there was maybe one or two products that we really loved. And I think they were recently brewed. Like, they were brewed within a week or two of us tasting it. And I have to believe, slash I know, because I've had aged coffee beers before, that the coffee will go stale, just like cold brew will go stale over time. Whereas, like, the beer industry is really into putting, like, best by dates on hopped coffees, because hops, just like coffee, lose their aromatics over time. I don't see them putting the best by dates on beer coffees. And really, you probably want to enjoy that within 2 or 3 weeks of actually brewing that coffee. And it's not attractive, because a lot of those beers are bigger beers and they like to be cellared and you like to age them and change the complexity of the flavor. But really, if you want to have the most authentic experience of aromatic in the cup, in the beer, you probably want to enjoy that within a couple of weeks.
All right. So let's imagine you're going to the grocery store. You want to try sort of the spectrum, or you even want to just try something more unique in terms of coffee beers. You love coffee, you love beer. What should people be looking for when it comes to buying a coffee beer?
Well, it depends on what you're into. Like, we all know that beer drinkers are about as picky as coffee drinkers are. Like, you like your particular styles, or some people like to explore the entire spectrum. Maybe the first thing to do is look at and see how recently that beer was brewed. And if it's within the last couple of weeks, you're probably safe to go. If not, steer away.
So brew date.
Brew date. Okay. A lot of the breweries, thankfully, to my surprise, are actually putting the style of beer, or I am just messing things up all day today.
Style of coffee?
Yep. They're putting the style of coffee and the style of how they brewed the coffee on the bottle. So if it says, like, hot coffee or hot espresso added to the beer, stay away. Cold brew, direct infused.
All right, so you're checking date, you're checking brew style of the coffee.
And then try going for your favorite style of beer. Because there are people doing lots of interesting things with different styles. So we tasted a pale ale, we tasted an IPA, we tasted a stout. There's a lot of interesting aromatics to be had and to be gained by adding coffee to a beer. I think that only some are successful, but there's a lot of interesting thought going into the process. When you combine things together, The whole must be better than the parts by themselves. I feel like people just often see their really catchy words, and we're looking at the, kind of the opposite thing, because we're coffee people. We're often excited by coffee, and half the time when we see a coffee beer, we're like, nah, it's going to be kind of gross. It's going to be kind
of junky.
We're
also skeptics.
Yeah, but then there are other people that are like, well, there's bourbon on this. It's bourbon. Bourbon barrel.
And I love bourbon.
So we get the marketing, but it all needs to add up to a better product, and I just don't see enough energy going into making sure that, like, it's the best possible product. I'm really excited for the two brewers that we're working for because they both have this attitude towards it. And they're all like, well, this is our first experiment. Let's just see what happens. Let's try to progress off of that. And it doesn't mean that the first collaborations that we're going to do are going to be the best. They might not be. But at least we're trying to learn from it and make something that's honest to both the coffee and the beer. And I feel like it's just becoming kind of a marketing game in the beer world to say, oh, this is brewed with coffee. This is brewed with coffee. Just like, here's a bourbon barrel-aged thing. Yada, yada, yada. Here's a bourbon barrel-aged French fry. Like, this is... It's just really kind of bizarre that you're going down this path. Just appreciate the coffee for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I get why you're trying to introduce that bourbon flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Also, the same thing with the beer. I get why you're trying to introduce coffee flavor. But a lot of breweries have the capacity to make that coffee note already. Like, it almost seems like you're going to another step just to market to a different group of people. So if you're a coffee fanatic and you're like, oh yeah, coffee beers, just beware. Beware. There will be a handful of brewers out there that do a fantastic job and really do a great job of isolating flavor notes, doing well by the coffee brewers, and really making sure that that beer and coffee synergy is phenomenal.
Hallelujah! Coffee beers. Good topic.
Mm-hmm. You all should just email us more often or write on our Facebook post.
Shout out to Peter Hipke again. Peter, I still don't know if that's how you pronounce your last name, but that bro is a super fan. He sent us an email the other day with like 10 questions.
There's a guy from Florida that emailed us and said he was going to send us some coffee beers.
Oh, yeah. No, that was Aaron Bakosh.
Aaron.
Backish. So that guy is cool because he wanted to send us beer. Met him once. Good guy. So, Aaron, your status as a good guy notwithstanding. Thanks for that. We look forward to that. But we're counting on the rest of you to provide us with both beer and questions. So send what you've got to podcast@stonecreekcoffee.com. Or 422 North 5th Street, Milwaukee, 53203, care of Drew Pond. And we'll taste what you send us and talk about it and any coffee questions you have. So we've been talking mashups with bourbon / barrels and beer. So 2 weeks from now, we're going to do a little tasting research on this whole bulletproof coffee thing that for some reason is still a thing. Like, we still get asked about, like, hey, what, you know, sometimes, like, somebody told me this the other day, like, I'll add salt to my coffee to make it less bitter. And I'm like, oh, cool. But on the flippity flop of that, I've never put salt in my coffee to figure out what the heck it tastes like. And then there's the whole, well, what if I also add butter? Butter's a thing. Put butter in your coffee and it makes it smooth and sweet and less bitter.
The bulletproof coffee thing is supposed to be a health craze.
Well, like somehow it does a thing.
it's if you're on like a certain restrictive diet, appealing to that kind of vegan, hitting a lot of your energy with fat and coffee and other stuff early in the morning. But I've never had it.
Right, and I think the whole shtick behind that, and we're going to do the research, so you don't have to.
And we're going to drink it.
Yeah,
we will drink it on air. We'll drink it on air.
We'll do the research before then. We'll drink it on the air, and we'll have a good time as we continue to talk about mashups. In the meantime, send us your questions. I already gave you the information for that. Give us your feedback. iTunes podcast is on there. You can leave a review. That'd be swell. You can also catch the podcast at stonecreekcoffee.com along with all of our lovely products. We got a cool mug on there now, that enamel mug.
It's a beautiful mug.
I love that mug.
Yeah.
So check that out. In the meantime, we are geeks.
And we are talking coffee.